You're listening to the Good Old Boys Fantasy Football Podcast. Now here's your hosts, Kevin, Derek, and Alex.
Alrighty, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Good Old Boys Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Derek, and I am joined, as always, by your co-hosts, Kevin and Alex. Guys, how are we doing tonight?
Doing good, man. We have made it all the way halfway through the year. Scott's Fishbowl has officially kicked off. There's tons of drafts going on and all the excitement kind of swirling around the industry, whether it's in the main event or one of the satellite best balls. So it's a lot of fun. It's drafting season. I love this time of year oh so much. So I'm about as happy as you can be right now.
This is the fun part of the year because next month there's football, and that's awesome. We just have to get through July, and then there's football in August, and that's exciting. So very excited to finally get to see what some of these rookies have with a full off season and preseason. Like, what a novel concept that will be to see a preseason again.
Right. Hey guys, we've got a very special guest joining us tonight. We've got Dave Fantasy coming to you live to talk some Pittsburgh Steelers. We've got a great episode for you. But Dave, how are we doing tonight?
Doing great, man. I'm excited to be here with you guys. Thanks for having me on.
We are excited to have you stop by, talk some Steelers football. You know, as everybody out there watching can see, you showed up dressed for the occasion, wearing some Steelers swag there. I like it. So this should be a lot of...
Had to break out my Heinz Ward jersey for you.
Absolutely. This one should be a lot of fun. For those of you that watched the NFL live stream with us, you will remember Dave was on there with us, helping break down some of these draft picks and going through it. It was a great time, and we couldn't wait for him to come back and break down some Steelers with us. So I'm very excited tonight. But so you've been working on some stuff. Since we talked last when we were doing the live stream for the draft, what have you been up to and what have you got in the works?
Well, I took a position as a columnist with In Between Media. So I've been doing that the last 2 months. In fact, my second one just came out yesterday.
Awesome.
So that's been taking up a good deal of my time. It gives me a chance to write a much longer piece, get more involved in things. You know, the group at In Between Media, the whole focus is on more than just fantasy advice. You know, we put in a little life experience, relatable stories and things like that. So it's a lot of fun to do. I've been enjoying that.
Right on. Well, congratulations on the gig, and we'll definitely be sure to go check that out. So Dave, I guess from the rookie draft the NFL draft, I guess, that we all kind of participated in until now, what have been some of your opinions that have changed since draft night? You know, kind of a stock up, stock down situation, if you will.
Well, it's hard to say a lot because, you know, we haven't gotten a chance to see any of these rookies in action much to this point. So it's been hard to draw too much of conclusions, but I am kind of a sucker for beat writer talk this time of year. You know, I'm excited to hear things about guys like Elijah Moore. You know, is a stock up guy for me. You know, I think he's going to be heavily involved in the Jets offense. And I've been excited when I've been able to get my hands on him in some of my rookie drafts for my dynasty leagues. I feel like there's some real potential there. I think, you know, another one is Trey Sermon in San Francisco, the running back. You never really know how Kyle Shanahan's going to deploy his running back. So I still kind of hesitate a little bit, but apparently they like what they're seeing in him, and we should expect to see him on the field a little more than we might have first thought.
Yeah, absolutely. So early reports this week out of San Francisco is their goal is to run the ball 500 times. So I like the Trey Sermon take, right? Like there's a lot of carries. Jeff Wilson being down, Raheem Mostert, he's never really been able to go over 180 carries without getting dinged up. So it does leave a lot of potential there for Trey Sermon. Who knows? Maybe we'll see a quarterback change because we all know that Jimmy Garoppolo ain't going to be running the football. So we might get to see Alex's guy, Mr. Trey Lance, get under center and see what he can do there. But I'm digging the Trey Sermon thing. He's going way underdrafted at the moment. And I think a month from now, people are going to finally catch on. And, you know, if you're drafting real close to the start of the season, like our home league does, I don't think you're going to be able to kind of sneak him in towards the mid to later rounds. You're going to have to grab him pretty solid in the middle of the draft to have an impact.
Kind of on that train of thought, Dave, who's a guy? I mean, I've got several guys that I'm willing to quote unquote overpay for when it comes to a redraft or in a rookie draft. Who's a guy that you are okay with overpaying for in either a redraft if it's not a rookie or in a rookie draft?
Well, in redraft right now, I feel like I'm overpaying for Dave Montgomery as far as what his average draft position is, but I don't feel like I'm really overpaying for Dave Montgomery because I feel like he's being undervalued tremendously. He's a guy that I'm pretty excited to get on my redraft teams this year. I think he's going to have another great season. I don't know that he's going to return, you know, running back four overall or anything like that, but he's going in most of my drafts. He's going as like the 18th to 20th running back taken. And that's just too, that's crazy to me. I just can't, I can't see 18 running backs or even 17 running backs that I'd rather have than Dave Montgomery, you know?
Yeah, the disrespect on David Montgomery is definitely real. When you think about a guy that finishes the number four running back overall last year and now is not even being drafted in the top 15, and really the offense improved around him from what was going on last year, the disrespect's real. So I feel you on that one, and definitely a guy that you can get at a value there. But Dave, real quick before we move on, how can the listeners connect with you? Can they find your new articles? How can they connect with you online?
Well, the new articles are at In Between Media, and you can always find me on Twitter at Dave Fantasy. I link pretty much everything that I write there, so it's probably the easiest way to get a hold of whatever I'm writing, no matter which of the sites that I'm writing for right now. But I also write for ContenderConnection.com and ProSportsX.com. So you can find me there as well.
Awesome. Well, guys, I think it's about time we talk some Steelers football here, which should be a lot of fun. So the Steelers coming off of a pretty darn good finish last year, a little bit of a fade towards the end of it, but they're looking to build on that here. It looks like this year, we're going to start where we always do, and that's in the running back room. And they made some excitement on draft night there with Najee Harris being their first round pick. They drafted running back, the first running back selected off the board in the 2021 draft. So guys, let's just start with the rookie. What are your thoughts on Najee Harris?
I like Najee a lot. He was clearly the best running back in this class. I think Alabama groomed him well for what the Steelers offense is going to ask of him, right? They're going to ask for, you know, probably 60-65% in between the tackles. And then he's going to get out wide, and you're going to get to see this guy wiggle. And if you haven't watched the film on him, he's got some wiggle. He's a bigger back, a little stocky, but he's got some wiggle to him. And his hands have improved drastically over the last couple of years at Alabama. And now he's going to be able to translate that into the NFL game. So I like Najee a lot. I know the big hype on him is inside the top 12. Talent-wise, yes, I think he can finish inside the top 12. The biggest thing that deters me there is the Steelers' offensive line. I do think it's still a work in progress, and their ability to be able to close the game down by just turning around and handing the ball to Najee, I don't know that they're going to be able to do that as much as some other teams can, just because we're going to see some plays where that offensive line just gets blown up. And then, you know, instead of 2 yards in a cloud of dust, Najee's going to be getting hit 3 yards behind the line from time to time, which happens to everybody. But I think you're going to see that a little bit more in the Steelers offensive line. But the talent is there. I have him at running back 14 is where I have him ranked. So it's not like I'm miles away from where everybody else is. I just think it's that offensive line that's going to hold him back slightly.
Yeah, with Najee, I mean, I was talking to somebody today, and the best way that I could describe Najee Harris is that he's going to be a problem. And he's going to be a problem for opposing defenses. He's going to be a problem for fantasy owners who are going up against him. And he might be a problem for people who own him in fantasy because he is a rookie and he is a running back, and that's tough. You can count on a couple things with Najee Harris. He is big, and he's got the speed. And to your point, Kevin, he's got that wiggle too. So I like Najee Harris. I'm trying to real quick, Derek, if you can pull it up for me, where did I finish with him?
Yeah, I got you. Let me pull that up for you.
I was trying to get it. I don't want to do too many things on my computer today. If you guys were with us last week, you'll know why, or the week before, you'll understand why. I don't want to overload my computer. So I'm trying to find the document that I had that on, but I don't have it readily available. Here it is. All right.
You had Najee at number 15.
So 15, top half. I think, Kevin's at 14. I'm at 15. I think for a rookie, that's a pretty good place to be. He's going to be on a run first or a run oriented offense with the quarterback being what the quarterback is there in Pittsburgh. And I'll get to that later. But I like him. I think that's the best way though to describe him is he's going to be a problem, and it's going to be a problem for owners, for people going up against him, and for opposing defenses.
Yeah, I think you guys have covered it pretty well. You know, I love Najee Harris. I think, you know, as a talent, he's the best thing the Steelers have seen in a while. And I would say including Le'Veon Bell. You know, I think he's a more talented back than Le'Veon Bell was. And, you know, that's saying something because obviously Bell had some pretty good years there in Pittsburgh. But I am maybe a little pessimistic about my expectations for Najee Harris due to a lot of what Kevin said. You know, the offensive line is this is arguably the worst offensive line they've had since Ben Roethlisberger's been there. I mean, they're going to really have a lot of trouble making the holes for Najee. He's going to be called upon to create a lot of his own yardage. But at the same time, he's a guy that's capable of creating on his own. So I think, you know, it's going to be interesting. I have him right in the same range as you guys. I have him as running back 15, which is right where I expect him to finish. You know, a mid-tier running back two. Definitely, you know, productive for a rookie, but I feel like people are drafting him higher than that, with higher expectations than that. I think people are looking at him as a potential back-end RB1, and I'm not optimistic that he's going to deliver quite that kind of value. So if you're drafting him in the second round, third round, I think you're overdrafting him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because I see what happened with CEH last year happen with Najee this year as redraft starts coming closer and closer and closer to the point where you're going to see people definitely start overreaching to the point where when real redraft got hot and heavy there, right there towards the end of August, beginning of September, you were seeing CEH go in like the 107, the 108, and a lot of times. And I think that you're going to see Najee creep up there, kind of a back half, first round, top half, second round deal. And that's going to be way too high for me right now. When I see that, looking at it, I have him with a pretty good finish on this, but it's not going to be a great finish. It's not going to be a running back one type of deal. He's going to be right there in that running back 14, 15 for me. Kind of curious here, you know, one of the big things I see holding him back is going to be the touchdowns with it. I think he'll get plenty of yards. I think he'll get plenty of carries and opportunities there because, you know, when you draft a guy in the first round, you're going to get the ball in his hands and let him work and let him do that. And he's talented enough to get some good work in there. But kind of an over under here. Do you guys see him with over under 275 carries on the 2021 season?
I'd say that's real close to what I expect. I'd probably take the under, but not by a lot. Between 250 and 275 seems reasonable for me.
Yeah, I'm right there with it. I'm the under, but not by much.
Kevin, what you got? I'm going to take the under as well. Typically, as you get into this NFL season, right, rookie running backs do tend to fade slightly down the stretch. It is a bit of a longer season. It's a little bit more grueling. They haven't had kind of their full year to get their NFL body accustomed to the hits and the length of the season, and it does cause them to slow down slightly. On top of, let's not forget, the Steelers used the short passing game for a ton of running type offense last season. I don't think that completely goes away. I think it's going to do a couple different things. And by using that short passing game, I think it's going to be a way to keep the defense spread out a little bit. So that way they don't continue to stack so many in the box, because if you miss and Deontay Johnson goes by you, you know, Juju goes by you, I mean, that's 6 points right there. So Claypool, the same thing. He's got over the top speed too. So they can't commit too many to the box, but I don't think he hits 275. I think 250 sounds pretty damn close to me.
Okay.
I'd also throw in there too. I think the Steelers, you know, for as much as I, you know, don't like the organization, I respect what they do, because they've obviously done it very well for a very long time. You don't have the success that you have without going about things. I hate to use this cliche term, but without doing things the right way. And I think they'll be smart about Najee Harris. I think they will understand, you know, he is a rookie. He is playing an extended season for the very first time, including all of the off the field stuff that goes into it. So I think that there will be caution in his usage. And I think that they might be, you know, overly cautious to not overuse him, because this is a long con. You get 4 years really out of a running back, four really good years out of a running back, and you'd hate to waste one, or you'd hate to use the first one up and affect the next three.
Fair enough.
I think the real question is over under 15 touches in the preseason. Like, I think that'll tell you how much they want to save him.
Yeah, you're probably right. I've got him slightly over that 275 mark, so I'll be the bullish one here on opportunities, but just slightly over. So pretty good mix there with it seeming to be that 275 mark kind of being a pretty good line there. So let's go ahead and head on over to some of the other running backs here. You've got Benny Schnell. You've got Anthony McFarland on the roster. A couple of guys that they spent some day two draft capital on over the last couple of seasons. Any desire to really talk about these guys, any fantasy relevance that you see for these guys in 2021?
Fantasy relevance, not so much. I think that I would say Benny Snell could be a decent handcuff in a later round. You know, if you were looking for, you know, some lottery tickets as the drafts kind of wind down, he'll continue to be in the mix, I think, throughout the season to spell Najee Harris and things like that. He also could get a little bit of the goal line work because he's pretty stout dude. But I don't think he has standalone fantasy value unless something were to happen to Najee Harris.
Yeah. I think he's a protect your investment pick. That's what Benny Snell is. And that's, I agree with you, Dave, that he'll be the spellback. He'll be the guy that that relieves Najee Harris. But as far as standalone, I don't know. They also have Kevin's favorite running back of all time on their roster. But we can digress, because I know Kevin doesn't want to talk about him very much.
Kalen Baggage. God, dude's a turd. No, Snell, I'm not drafting any Steelers running back beside Najee. Like, we saw what they were trying to do last year when James Conner went down, and no one had it. Like, you would show a glimpse, and out of 15 touches, they might do something with one or two of them. Part of it was the offensive line. Part of it's just the sheer talent differential, right, between even James Conner and where Anthony McFarland as a rookie coming in and Benny Snell coming in. Like, I'm not blown away by either one of those guys. They're really going to have to show me something in the preseason and really jump off the film to get me to consider them. Otherwise, it's Najee or bust for the Steelers run game for me.
I would also agree that Seven has a big part in maybe not taking another running back, because I think, you know, he's got an ego that big enough that he'll get it done if the right people aren't on the field.
All righty. Well, let's go ahead and head on over to the wide receiver room there. And we're going to start with Deontay Johnson, who finished last year as the wide receiver 23 in half point scoring. 88 receptions on 144 targets, 923 yards, 7 touchdowns. Your thoughts on Deontay Johnson?
Before Kevin gets going, because this was a guy, this was a guy that Kevin, I remember Kevin being like super duper high on him, and just the frustration level that Deontay Johnson brought him week in and week out. So I'm excited to hear this from Kevin.
The Steelers wanted Deontay Johnson to be their true number one in such a bad way last year. And he had glimpses of it, but then he had the yips and was dropping all these sorts of freaking passes. And then he got the injury bug that kind of crept up. There was a couple of games where he missed. What game was it? Was it the game against Tennessee where he missed the second half with a hamstring or something like that? Like it was a wide receiver two performance, but it was a frustrating way to get to wide receiver two territory in that 23 final ranking, just because they wanted him to be the guy. He started off so hot, and then all of a sudden he forgot how to catch the damn football. All that being said, I still like Deontay Johnson. Like, I still think he's the guy going forward. I think Ben Roethlisberger showed that he trusts him last year, even through the drops. God only knows what's going on with Juju. We'll get to him in a bit, but Deontay was really the guy that for a large part of the season, if Ben was looking to make a play, Deontay was that guy until Claypool continued to kind of emerge throughout the season, and then Juju flashed as well. But Deontay was the one who he's getting a lot of those first down catches. He was taking a lot of those short passes and getting a lot of the yards after the catch for him in the early stages of the season. I expect a lot of that to continue for him. So while I'm not going to jump off the moon for Deontay Johnson like I thought I was doing a lot of times last year, he's a guy that I openly welcome onto my roster as a piece of the passing game in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm a big Deontay guy. I understand your frustration from last year, but I drafted him as like the 40th wide receiver off the board in my home league, so I was pretty happy with it all in all. You know, I got to wait a long time before I grabbed him, and then he delivered on that ADP. But I expect him to lead the team in targets again this year. I think that he should be probably a wide receiver two again, but you know, kind of towards the lower end, sort of where he ended up last year. I feel like he's going to be in the same position come year end. I do think that the new offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh, Matt Canada, is going to want to try and stretch the field a little bit more. I know that, you know, you guys talked a little bit about the dink and dunk style passing that they used as sort of an extension of the run game last year. I don't think that goes away completely either, but I do think that, you know, they're going to definitely look to stretch the field a little more. That's also going to depend a lot on how Najee Harris performs, you know, but if the run game's a legit threat, you know, they'll get the opportunity to look downfield a little more, because that's kind of, Canada's got a little more gutsy style than Randy Finkner had. So I think, you know, there's a good chance that we'll see Deontay a little further down the field and not so many just short passes, which is going to give him the opportunity to score more touchdowns. I definitely think we're going to see more than 7 touchdowns this year from Deontay.
I think a big issue with Deontay Johnson was the fact that he would put up really, really good weeks and then back that up with nothing. I mean, nothing. Like, it was, if you looked at like his performance last year, it was the classic mountain on the bar graph. Like, it was incredible how he could put up, you know, he'd have a game where he'd have 9 receptions and 2 touchdowns. And then the very next week, this is week 7 to week 8 last year, 9 receptions on 15 targets, had 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. Very next week, against Baltimore in week 8, 1 reception on 3 targets for 6 yards. And that was kind of indicative of the season that he had. And I think for a lot of, you know, for fantasy owners, and Kevin lamented this, I think, every other week, obviously, last year, was that Deontay Johnson, you know, it was like, do I play him or do I not, because of what he can be versus the up and down that you would get week in and week out with him. That's, you know, to the point of Kevin there with him getting into that wide receiver two. It was a struggle to get there because it was so inconsistent from week to week. If for some way we can see some level of consistency where maybe, you know, he doesn't need to have 9 for 80 and 2 scores every week, but if for some reason he can give us, you know, at least 6 every week, at least, you know, 75 yards every week and get in the end zone every other week, that's fine. Or, you know, every 2 weeks, whatever it may be. But that's, I think, the frustrating part about Deontay Johnson is there is a high risk, not overall, but from week to week, it is a high risk playing him because of just the inconsistency of what he would get in terms of usage from week to week. So I'm a little leery of him. I still think that if I get him at the right price, if he's there at a decent spot for me, yeah, I'd be all over him just because, you know, you would like to have that piece on your roster. It's just then incumbent upon you to make sure that he plays to his potential and you like the matchups that he gets and hope that, you know, you don't play him in a week where you really need a big week from Deontay Johnson and you get a 1 for 6 and that's it.
So I can hear what you're saying, but let me tell you why I would absolutely put Deontay Johnson on a roster. So when you look at it right now, you're talking about the inconsistency. He finished ranked as the 23rd overall wide receiver last year at half point score, and he was the 22nd overall consistency rank. So the consistency rank was right alongside where his overall finish was to it. That just shows the inconsistency of the wide receiver group as a whole. But here's why I will absolutely put him on a roster. When you look at where he's going right now, he is the 22nd wide receiver off the board in ADP, which is probably, he'll finish probably just a little bit above that. But when you look at everybody else around that area, they are not going to come close in targets to him. So I'm going to take the opportunity there. And for a guy that you're able to draft right now in the very back of the 5th, top of the 6th type of range, like that's really kind of where his draft capital is going to put you in back half of that 5th. That's a second wide receiver that you're putting on your roster. So you're not relying on him to be that number one wide receiver. You're relying on him to be, you know, depending upon how you draft, either your second or third wide receiver in some cases. And you're talking about a guy that's going to get a ton of targets, which leads me to my next question for y'all. Do you see the line for Deontay Johnson over under 150 targets?
Ooh, I like good that number a lot. Yeah. I like that number a lot.
That's a good number. I will go under because of the mouths to feed.
Okay. Dave, what do you got? Over, under 150?
I think I'd go slightly under too. And a lot of that's going to be because hopefully, you know, there will be a little bit more pass catching out of the backfield with Najee Harris than there was last season. And I think that could eat into that potential targets for Deontay.
Kevin, what do you got?
I'm going over because when he was fully healthy last year, he had a minimum of 10 targets. Now, when he got dinged up, obviously that eats into it, but we're not here to predict injury. We're here to, you know, just call a spade a spade. When he was healthy last year, they fed him the ball, and a minimum of 10 targets each game just kind of naturally gets you there because we have the extra game this season, on top of the fact that at some point, you know, the Steelers will have to kind of choose a true number one. Like Ben Roethlisberger, he's not Tom Brady, right? Like Ben Roethlisberger is not going to spread it around between Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin the way that Tom Brady did. Like he's not going to do that here in Pittsburgh. You'll find a true number one, And I think Deontay Johnson has the best skill set to do it amongst the three guys that are currently the three starters that are on the roster.
Right. That's how I see it as well. Looking at it, I also see his, because of the fact that they added Najee in there and they'll have, you know, more consistency, I think, out of that backfield, as far as a run game goes, as far as being able to catch the ball out of the backfield as well. I think that actually is going to open things up for him, and you'll actually see his catch rate improve a little bit there as well. Something tells me that a wide receiver that, you know, kind of got dubbed with some of those drop issues that he got, and really all that kind of based off of one or two games there. But, you know, dubbed that way, you'll see a guy having spent a lot of time in the offseason working on catching the ball, bringing it in and securing it. So I think you'll see his catch rate go up a little bit there as well. So I've got him over the 150, and I see him just at about 100 receptions on the season as well. So again, count me in on Deontay Johnson all the way, especially when you start considering that ADP and the fact that he's going to be my second or third wide receiver on my team there. So very cool. Let's go ahead and we'll talk about Juju Smith-Schuster, who finished as the wide receiver 18 last year, 97 receptions, 128 targets, 831 yards, and 9 touchdowns. Your thoughts on Juju Smith-Schuster?
I think it's going to be a lot based on, you know, determined by the role that he plays. If they're going to have him as the sort of nitty-gritty, doing the dirty work kind of wide receiver the way they had him last year, I wouldn't be as excited about taking him. But if they give him a chance to play a little more on the outside than in the slot, you know, he played a lot of in the slot this past year. If they give him a chance to get a little bit more on the outside, I think, you know, there's potential for some big plays. Obviously, we've seen him, you know, make some of these ridiculous 90 plus yard receptions in the past. You know, I'm not calling necessarily one of those monster plays, but he's able to get loose. You know, he has the speed to do it. And if they get him a little further downfield, I would be much surprised if he doesn't come out with more yards this year than he did last year. I mean, it's kind of crazy when I was listening to you say those numbers, and it's 97 receptions and only 831 yards. That those two numbers don't usually fit together like that. So,
yeah, I think Juju was I think a lot of people were disappointed in Juju last year because of the expectations that we all had for him, right? You know, we were expecting him to, in a contract year, be a guy, you know, who's established, and we figured that him and Ben would have that connection. And well, you know, to Derek's point earlier, you know, this whole team was so up and down. You know, it was each week it was a pick your poison type deal with this team, which. Kind of frustrating for fantasy owners who have, you know, maybe one piece of this offense versus, you know, the entirety of it. So yeah, with Juju, you know, you look at the games that he had last year, and he never had a game over 100 yards. He came close a couple times, but never over 100 yards. And especially when it comes to fantasy for a guy who, you know, he's seeing the football a lot, right? And he's catching it, but you like to get those 100-yard bonus points if you're in a league that does that, and most leagues do. 9 touchdowns is great, but, yeah, it's just so confusing. This whole offense really was confusing last year to try and break down and figure out what it was from week to week, because it was just always somebody different. And I think I even had the issue with Claypool myself in a couple leagues. Is just like, do I play him this week or do I not? Same thing with Juju. And I think there was a lot of disappointment. Now, all that being said, I think, Dave, you bring up a good point with the new OC coming in. Hopefully a guy that Ben Roethlisberger will actually, you know, talk to at some point throughout the season. That would be probably a welcome change. I think the passing game would be a much better served, even though we'll get to it. I'm not sure I trust the right arm anymore, but yeah, I think Juju is probably a candidate this year where you can probably get him pretty low. I know his ADP is not where it was last year by any means, because I think a lot of people were upset with his performance, but I still think he's an okay piece. If you're going to get a piece of this Steelers passing offense, that you'd be okay with getting Juju on your roster.
I think yes, Alex. And I think there's a couple different things that I see happening with Juju. I think his touchdowns probably dip a little bit from 9, maybe down to 7. But I do think that his yardage total will increase. Part of that's going to be him probably being able to play outside a little bit more. I think Deontay Johnson's a more natural fit in the slot, but we'll see kind of how the offense is going to be constructed. Part of it's going to be Najee Harris, right? Just creating some attention. And if he can get off to a hot start, guys, these wide receiver numbers are going to be phenomenal come midseason, right? If Najee can put his stamp on the offense in the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season and they kind of get back to that black and gold, you know, beat you into the ground type mindset, and then all of a sudden you have safeties that are forced to cheat up and some of these slot corners are peeking into the backfield a little bit more and opening up different type of route concepts because they're having to play some more zone coverage to be able to deal with some things that are going on. It's going to be fun. It should be fun. Yes, Ben Roethlisberger is another year older. My biggest thing is going back again to the offensive line, as with this whole team, right? Like Dave, you were saying deeper route concepts. Well, it's awesome for fantasy, right? If you can get those yardage bonuses and the big plays, the hit up on SportsCenter and that everybody's talking about, like those are fun to have, but what's the cost? And by that, I mean, are you risking, you know, your quarterback's health going 5 to 7 steps so often when your offensive line is really built for 3 to 5 steps? Like you can only take so many shot plays before you're playing a little bit of Russian roulette with your quarterback, in my opinion on this team. But as long as they hold up, Juju's a prime candidate because he's a one touch and go guy. You know, we've seen it. Hell, he did it to the Broncos a couple years ago, right? When they were playing here, one touch and go. And that's what's exciting. That's what's electric about this team and Juju individually. I would just like to see him. I'd like to see him improve his route tree a little bit crisper route running, if you will, create some of that separation. But I think that will help with some of the target share. If he's able to improve on that over the offseason, we'll like the results come September, October, November.
Yep, I think I don't really have anything to add that you guys haven't already touched on. So let's go ahead and move on over to Chase Claypool, who finished as the wide receiver 19 last year, 62 receptions, 109 targets, 873 yards, and 9 touchdowns. Your thoughts on Chase Claypool?
Now, this is a guy I'm excited about for this year. This is a guy I would really be excited about in a best ball format, too. Because I feel like, you know, he's got the opportunity to pile up some touchdowns. Great size and speed combination. Obviously, you know, there's been comparisons to Calvin Johnson, which I think might be a little over the top. But, you know, from a just physical size and speed standpoint, I see where they're coming from. This is another guy who would greatly benefit from some more down the field passing because of that. But to your point about the offensive line, Kevin, you know, that is kind of a concern. That's kind of my major concern. I think you guys might remember on draft night when the Steelers took Najee Harris in the first round, I was kind of blown away that they didn't take an offensive lineman. That was, I thought, the biggest need, and I thought we were going to address that. But the offensive line might have gotten a little worse in the offseason, to be honest, and it wasn't really great last year. But for what they weren't good at last year, which was run blocking, it's a big part of the reason the run game was so bad. They did do pretty well as a pass blocking unit. I think they were ranked 6th overall by PFF or something like that as a pass blocking unit. So that's still going to kind of be their strongest side of the ball. I know, I understand, you know, they're going to have to protect Roethlisberger, but I think that's kind of their strength, you know, is playing from being able to protect the quarterback on a pass play. And I don't know that every single play will have to be a 5 to 7 step drop to just get it a little further down the field than they did because they're, you know, the release time from Roethlisberger last year was the fastest in the league. You know, they had the shortest ADOT, I believe, of any, you know, as a team. of anyone in the NFL. And so it's not going to, you know, it doesn't have to be like a total go route every time just to get the ball down the field a little bit more, which I think that they're going to need to do in order to avoid, you know, the finish that they had last year.
If there were 16 games, if the Steelers, specifically if Chase Claypool could play 16, now 17 games against the Philadelphia Eagles, I would be all in on Chase Claypool. And there would be no question about putting him on my roster, because that was the week five last year that he went bananas, had the 4 total touchdowns, 3 through the air, 1 on the ground, and really projected his touchdown totals. You take that game away, you take away, you know, a game where he had 2 in week 10 against Cincinnati. He had 4 touchdowns the other 14 weeks.
Well, because you took away all of his touchdowns, you asshole.
but 4 touchdowns in 14 weeks is not great. That's the point I'm getting at. and for a guy who, you know, is going to need touchdowns, and to his credit, he did get touchdowns, and that's why he was able to finish up in that, you know, up above wide receiver 20, 19 territory. That's the game that you play. And Dave, I'm glad you brought it up, and I, you know, should have brought it up earlier myself if I was a thinking man and smart. All of these Steelers wide receivers are perfect for best ball. You know, you just get one, you put them on your roster, you hope that week they go off. Otherwise, it's no harm, no foul. But that's the format that if you're in a best ball league, get one of these Steelers wide receivers and hope that your guy hits more often than not. Because that's, again, you know, another guy, Chase Claypool, did that same thing with his performance, just up and down week in and week out. And it was very, very frustrating. I know I had a couple Claypool shares. It was frustrating to once again, man, I could use a big week from Chase Claypool and he puts up a goose egg. And then there's other weeks where it's like, you know what? I got burned by Chase Claypool and then he goes ham on my bench. And that's not very much fun. So there was a lot of if I had hair, I would have pulled it out a bunch. last year, trying just to decide if Chase Claypool should be in my starting lineup. But best ball, now that's the format for these guys.
So I don't have a whole lot to add here, but I will say this. I use this strategy a bit with running back by committees, and if I'm struggling to figure out which guy I want and kind of where I want to draft him. Take the guy with the lowest ADP, because then you have the highest upside with it, right? And it works a little bit better in best ball, right? Because you're not, your return on investment calculates different, right? You're not having to make that roster move and figure out where the matchup is. But as I'm kind of looking at this, it's not that I don't like Deontay Johnson or Juju Smith-Schuster. It's just, I might happen to like some other guys slightly more in those areas that they're going, but if I can get Chase Claypool a couple rounds later and I'm going up against him or Michael Gallup or, you know, some of these other teams that are kind of looking, you know, why am I escaping his name? Antonio Brown, like, is a possibility, right? It's that third receiver in a three-headed monster. I'm all about the value at that point. And if I can get Claypool, who is young and spry and has that boom potential.
It looks like Kevin's internet is having the fun now.
Then reading the six of the season goes on.
All righty. So actually, Kevin, you kind of led me into the question that I had for everybody. And that was, you know, kind of this nebulous situation where you've got a multiple wide receivers that all will have a lot of fantasy relevance there. Who do you want out of that? That's kind of the way that I also would look at that as well, is take the guy with the lowest ADP when they're all kind of bunched up together there for the same reasons that you're talking about. So leads me to my question for the group here, and just a one name answer, and we'll move on over to tight ends. But right now, you've got Deontay Johnson with an ADP of 57. You have Chase Claypool with an ADP of 71 and Juju Smith-Schuster with an ADP of 79. So taking them at their ADP, who are you taking for a redraft league?
Juju.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
Deontay.
Oh, so
Juju gives you the best of both worlds. He has that boom potential, but he also sees more consistent targets than Claypool. Like, that's why I like him. On top of the fact he's the cheapest, I can get him at half a round later than Claypool, and you know, even later than that from Deontay. So, bang for my buck.
Absolutely. All righty. Well, let's go ahead and head on over to the tight end room where Eric Ebron came over last year. He finished as the tight end 15, 56 receptions, 91 targets, 558 yards, 5 touchdowns. Your thoughts on Eric Ebron?
That catch rate is what got him kicked out of Detroit. That catch rate is what really got him kicked out of Indianapolis outside of his first the season with Andrew Luck, right? That is the problem with Eric Ebron. He is an athlete. He is a big-bodied guy. He's not afraid to go high point the ball. He's good in the end zone as far as, you know, designing plays for him. It's a 50-50 shot whether he's coming down with that sucker. And at tight end 15, I'm streaming him all day long anyway. So I had, you know, I'm not targeting Ebron, but there's a good chance I'll own him at some point throughout the season.
Yeah, he's definitely not a draftable tight end, in my opinion.
Yeah, Ebron doesn't really excite me a lot. When we're talking Steeler tight end, actually, I'm kind of excited about Pat Freiermuth in Dynasty. You know, if you can get your hands on him at a value, I mean, I think that guy's going to be a red zone target sooner than later. I think he's going to make a difference and be one of those tight ends that, you know, gets a fair amount of touchdowns on a year-to-year basis. So I think that he's another guy that I was really surprised when the Steelers drafted him. But, you know, now that the draft is come and gone, I'm looking at the way they're going to use him, and it kind of makes me excited to think about his potential.
The only thing that's making me hesitate on him, Dave, is the fact that out of college, he's already a better blocker than Eric Ebron. And so I'm afraid if the offensive line struggles are a thing, like we've been kind of echoing throughout this segment, he's going to probably be asked to stay in line a little bit more, at least initially, but Dynasty, it's a good long play. Most tight ends don't pop until year three anyway. So it's a good long play in Dynasty. Stash him, let him develop as the blocker, and then once Ebron's out of town, they'll draft some yuck in the fifth round to come block for everybody, and he'll get out in the routes.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. I like it. I don't really have anything riveting to add there, so let's go ahead and we'll move on over to the quarterback. And you got Big Ben. Last year coming off of that injury and finished at quarterback 14 last year, 399 completions, 608 attempts, 3,803 yards for 33 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. Your thoughts on Big Ben?
Well, this is the big question mark, right? I mean, whether or not he's still got something in the tank is going to be the answer to all of these questions, if any, you know, of how this offense is going to go. It's going to go as far as Ben can take them. I think, you know, I'm not really optimistic about him in fantasy. I'm hoping that, you know, he'll be able to get the job done from an NFL standpoint and get the job done enough that he can make these weapons on this team valuable in fantasy. But as far as Ben's own fantasy value, I expect, you know, low-end quarterback 2 finish from him. He's not bad if, you know, a super flex, if he's your second quarterback, that's, you know, you'll be fine. But I wouldn't want him to be my quarterback 1 on any of my fantasy teams this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I was commiserating with a Steelers fan while I was at work today. No secrets here. The three of us are Broncos fans. And I actually had to think to myself, would I rather have Ben Roethlisberger or the two yucks that Denver's going to trot out this year, one of the two yucks that Denver's going to trot out this year with Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater? And I would take Ben Roethlisberger. Boy, would I be not super thrilled about that one either. So I know I have Ben just because of he is established. He knows what he's doing. He's smart enough to understand how to protect himself, and he has the weapons around him and knows how to utilize those weapons around him. That I actually have Ben as my 20th quarterback this year, just because I think he's savvy enough to get those points, those touchdowns, those yards. So that's where I have him. Spoiler alert, I have neither of the two Broncos quarterbacks inside the top 32. So there's that.
Not true. But, you've got Teddy Bridgewater at 31.
Oh, pardon me. Pardon me. Just barely inside the top 32. So I think, I will always go in a different direction than Ben Roethlisberger when it comes to drafting a quarterback, just because it's probably more of a personal vendetta against the guy than anything. It's just, I just don't care for him. that's just what it is. So I would look elsewhere, but I still think he puts up a decent year this year. But I do think that the Steelers would be better served if they could just tell him to ride off into the sunset. Yeah.
I like Big Ben. I don't love Big Ben, but I like him. I like the pieces that they have around it. I do see him regressing a little bit, but I'm expecting Najee to do things that take the pressure off of him, right? That don't require the fastest ADOT in the league. The shortest ADOT in the league and the fastest release time of his career. Like, I'm not expecting all those things because of what Najee can do. I think he is a very solid second quarterback in a super flex league. You know, in a single QB league, no, I'm not going out and I'm not targeting Ben Roethlisberger. But I think he's a good super flex piece to have because he has so many explosive weapons around him that you're going to see a lot of good things come from him. Now, all that to be said, Alex, I have him at 19, so I only have him one spot above you. I'm just choosing to look at it with more of a glass half full view of what can actually go on. And a lot of it's just the guys I have in front of him. I think the quarterback position this year is going to, you know, really take off with all this youth that we've put into that position over the last 4 years. There's so many good quarterbacks in the league right now. You have to rank someone, you know, 20 through 32. Like, it's just how it works.
So I'm the most bullish on Big Ben between the three of
us.
At 18. So, you know, one spot ahead of you and two spots ahead of Alex there. But when you look at kind of how that's grouped in there, as far as how that goes, I don't see him finishing that far behind, you know, the guys at 17, 16, 15 type of thing. They're all kind of in that same tier for me, but I like the pieces around him. I like the fact that, again, you know, he's going to have a bunch of volume going his way. He'll complete a bunch of passes, throw for a bunch of yards, and you'll see him put up probably north of 30 touchdowns, I think, this season as well. So I like a lot of the, you know, and a lot of that has to do with all the pieces around him. While that line needs a lot of work, I think you again will see Najee help establish a run game. They'll use that short pass game to help establish the run there as well and buy him some time. So I like Big Ben as a, you know, second quarterback for Superflex. I like him for single, you know, if you're planning on streaming the quarterback and doing a super late quarterback in a single quarterback league. But if I'm playing him as my one quarterback and I'm, you know, spending some draft capital on that, not going to happen. I'll punt that position. And he's a guy that you can get super late that I can spend that draft capital elsewhere and build up a roster around him that would allow me to stream him as a quarterback and play the matchups for him. So,
okay. Here's a fun one for the group. And I know we're going to get into our quarterback rankings, but if you had the choice and you're looking for your second quarterback, obviously in a super flex league, and you come across these three options, these three guys are available. Which one are you taking? Kirk Cousins, Ben Roethlisberger, or Daniel Jones?
Captain Kirk. The dude always finds a way to end up in the top 12. Like, no matter where we rank him and how terrible we think he's going to be, Captain Kirk manages to finish in QB1 or fringe QB1 territory every single year.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Actually, I just missed Kirk Cousins earlier in the Scott Fishbowl draft today, and I was a little bit disappointed in that. I thought, you know, I was going to be pretty safe with him and was looking forward to the pick, but he went a couple picks ahead of me. So
I know the feeling. had something similar happen as well. Between those guys, I think I'm going to take Kirk Cousins. Again, safer floor. Yeah, the Vikings, I like that offense a little bit better. I'll probably take the Kirk Cousins there as well. So I think we were consensus there or unanimous on the Kirk Cousins.
I have one more random question, and then we can move on. But this goes back to the Deontay Johnson thing, right? So Deontay Johnson, we said, had a case of the drops. Jerry Jeudy, we know, had a big claim of the drops. Evan Ingram had a big hammer on him for all the drops in New York. The other guy who finished, I guess, tied for second in the league in drops was one CeeDee Lamb, who people cannot get off this guy's jock strap. And Deontay led the league at 10 drops. And then Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb both had 9, and Evan Ingram had 8. So part of it's volume driven, but these drops are real. And the problem is, especially with Deontay, right? Because the Steelers were started out so stinking hot that his drops just came at terrible times. Sitting there watching him on prime television on Sunday Night Football, and the dude has 4 drops in one half on Sunday Night Football. And you're going, what in the world is this guy doing? So that was my thing for the night, of compiling who had the most drops, and Deontay won the most drops award. Yay.
Yeah. As far as CeeDee Lamb goes, I like the fact that Dak will be back. I also like that when you look at, while Jerry Jeudy also had a ton of drops, when you look at his catchable balls, the balls that were actually catchable around him, he was one of the lowest catchable balls rate in the league last year for wide receivers. So yeah, it was, I would definitely take those guys there simply from the standpoint that if you're a Jerry Jeudy, you don't know if the ball's even going to be in the vicinity of you to catch, just because the fact that Drew Lock's throwing you the ball.
Hey, Teddy B will get him the ball.
Was that before or after we had the practice squad wide receiver playing quarterback for us, which I thought was an improvement at the position?
Get out of here. Oh. Next. All right. Good. Now that was said.
Yes. Now that we really brought that riveting analysis home, any final thoughts on the Steelers?
Good team.
Best ball monsters. Yeah. Best ball monsters.
Yeah. All righty. Well, guys, we have been talking it up for a little bit, and now is the time that we're going to start revealing some of our rankings, and we've got the consensus rankings for the good old boys. We're going to break that out more in depth on our website, goodoldboysff.com. Make sure that you check that out. We'll have the our full rankings listed over there and kind of bring those to you. You can also find some of those on the socials as well, but tonight we're going to hit up our top 15 and consensus QB rankings. And Dave is going to give us his takes on our rankings and kind of see, where he would thinks we're either too high, too low, thinks we're just about right. Here we're going to play some Goldilocks with these rankings here with Dave letting us know. So number one consensus was Patrick Mahomes. Interesting side note, while it was consensus, it was not unanimous. Josh Allen, number two, Kyler Murray.
Hang on.
Yep.
While it was consensus, it was not unanimous because I think Derek's been hanging out too much in that crisp, thin air of the Mile High City too much. And by crisp, thin air, I mean weed-filled air, because he is smoking something fierce with the guy that he has ranked number one overall.
Yep, that would be Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And I can get into my reasonings behind why I have him outscoring Patrick Mahomes this season. But let's go ahead and get through the list, and we can get to some of that here in a moment.
The reasoning is you visited the head shop. You visited the green plus sign. That's the reasoning.
Oh, no, not the case. Kyler Murray, number three. Dak Prescott, number four. Russell Wilson, number five. Lamar Jackson, number six. Aaron Rodgers, number seven. Tom Brady, number eight. Justin Herbert, number nine. Jalen Hurts, number 10. Joe Burrow, number 11. Ryan Tannehill at 12.
All right, let's stop there. All right. Because that's our QB1, right? So those are our QB1s. And Derek, if you would be so kind, maybe copy and paste that, throw it in the comments so people can see what we got. But Dave, what do you got based on our – let's go on our top five that we had, which was Mahomes, Allen, Murray, Prescott, and Russell Wilson.
Well, actually, when it comes to the top five, I can't really fault you guys too much on anything. I have Kyler second over Josh Allen, who I have third, but I have the same five, just not in precisely the same order. So I like your top five. I like your start. I think you guys are doing fine by the time you get to five.
Okay, so it sounds like you have some.
All right, we made it out of the gate. We made it out of the gate.
You've got some objections here when it comes to maybe 6 through 12. So 6, not to beleaguer the point, but 6 is Lamar Jackson. Are you okay with Lamar at 6?
I'm actually lower on Lamar than a lot of people are. Hmm. I didn't realize that until I've seen everybody else's quarterback rankings, but – and I also went on Fantasy Pros just to kind of get a glimpse of what the expert consensus is right now. And they have Lamar at fourth, which I thought was too high, much too high. I actually have Lamar at eighth. Mm. So
interesting.
I don't hate him at six, but there's a couple quarterbacks that I want to get in there ahead of him.
Okay. We have Rodgers at
seven.
Hold on.
How the hell? Never mind.
What?
Okay. Nothing. Go ahead.
Okay. We have Rodgers at 7.
Rodgers at 7 is a little too high for me just because I think there is some legitimate concern that he's not going to play this year. I don't know that I believe that he won't play, but at the same time, it's not going to throw me if he says, look, I meant what I said, and I'm not coming back to Green Bay. So I just have a little harder time putting him that high due to the risk. I think he's riskier than some of these guys.
For what it's worth, two pieces of information that just came out hours before we started recording this here on Tuesday night. One was Rodgers wasn't on the opt-out list for the Packers. He was not put on that list. So there's something. Two, he was playing in that golf tournament with Tom, Phil, and Bryson DeChambeau. They were doing that. That was tonight. They were playing in that.
Today.
Yeah. And the guys on TNT were busting his chops, trying to get him to commit to something. And he just dodged the question altogether. So there's that. All right, Derek, we had it scrolling there. What do we have for 8 is Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's another one that's a little too high for me. I don't know that I can put him up at 8. In fact, I did my own rankings just so I'd have something to compare it to, and I have him at 11.
Kevin, in our individual rankings, which is what caused that reaction there, Kevin, very bullish on Tom Brady. You got him up at 5, Kevin.
No, that's me.
Oh, sorry, Derek. Derek, very bullish. You've got him up at 5.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Kevin and I are 8 and 9, respectively. Derek, what are you doing?
Here's the thing behind Tom Brady, right? Here's the thing with Brady, right? When you look at it, quarterbacks take a leap in year two under the Bruce Arians system, right? So we already saw that start to happen towards the tail end of last year. Most quarterbacks take a full year to get the system and an offseason to then, you know, to digest it and be able to produce on it. You saw that start to happen last year, took it all the way to a Super Bowl. This coming year, I see him just under 5,000 yards total passing, 41 touchdowns, about 12 interceptions, and that's going to ride him all the way up into a number 5 ranking for me.
Excellent. Okay, we've got Justin Herbert at number 9. Both Kevin and I, a little bit more bullish than Derek on this one. Kevin and I both had him at 7, Derek at 10, consensus 9.
This is one that I think you're too low on. I have Herbert as 6 overall. Mm. I'm expecting some big things out of him, due in large part to the offensive line is much better in San Diego. You know, they brought in Corey Linsley. They brought in Matt Filer. I just feel like they solidified the line in front of him, and they really sought to do that. Then even though Hunter Henry moves on, they got Jared Cook in as tight end now, so I don't feel like he's going to lose that much, you know, talent out of the tight end position. And when we were talking at the very beginning of the show, and you were talking about guys that I might be higher on or guys that I would overpay for, I'd put Keenan Allen in that category. I think Keenan Allen's going to have a monster year with Justin Herbert this year. And so, yeah, I'm higher on Herbert overall than you guys are.
I'm in on you with the Keenan Allen take. That was me last year about this time. Forced into that take, I might add, because I had to break down the Chargers for one of our guest spots that we did. And all of a sudden, I was like, man, Keenan Allen's going to be pretty freaking good this next year, last offseason. So I was big on Keenan Allen.
I see Herbert while he still has a really good year. I see that Chargers defense with everybody coming back and healthy, being able to them not having to throw the ball to stay in games and then being able to play behind that defense, which is a great defense. And the fact that they'll be able to establish the run a little bit and play a little bit closer games where they're not having to send him out there and throw the ball, 60% of their, as a 60-40 run rate or 60-40 pass to run ratio, I probably see that coming a little bit back more to the point where you're going to see probably about a 54%, 55% pass, 45% run. So that kind of swing back a little bit towards a little bit more of a balanced deal. Playing behind that defense is what brought him down for me just a little bit.
All right, we've got Hurts at 10.
Yeah, I've got him at 9, so I'm not going to really
you and Derek agree
too much
at 9.
There. Yep. It's pretty darn close. I like his, rushing upside, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So. One that we kind of were a little bit all over the place with was Joe Burrow at 11. Derek's got him at 12. Kevin's got him at 10. I have him at 14.
I have Burrow at 12, so I'm right there in the middle with you guys.
Very good.
I just see them behind and throwing the ball a lot.
Yeah, they were the highest volume passing team before his injury last year. I mean, most attempts per game, that is.
Yeah,
I think about 45. I think they were averaging about 45 attempts per game.
Yeah, so. I mean, last year they averaged, it was insane. And the fact that, while Joe Mixon's back, while they made, They brought in pieces to be more offensive minded weapon, throwing the ball down the field, and that defense is going to have to throw the ball to get to stay in game. So it's not going to surprise me if Joe Burrow averages about 40 attempts a game.
Well, yeah, they spent that high draft pick to bring in Chase when they could have and maybe should have taken the tackle out of Oregon, but
Penny Sunil.
Yeah, I really like him. I mean, I thought he was the right pick for Cincinnati in this draft. I was caught by surprise a little bit when they took Chase, but
that ruined my.
But Chase is awesome. I'm not saying that it's going to be a bad situation for them, but
that ruined my top five pick prediction. Was that pick? I'm not sure. A lot of people had that one. And then to close out our QB ones, we've got Ryan Tannehill at 12.
All right, now this is the one where I've got a bone to pick with you guys. I mean, he was quarterback 7 last year, and he's got Julio Jones now. I mean, I don't know how you can have him as low as you do. I think he's got to be up there higher. I have him as quarterback 7. And as a matter of fact, I'm getting real excited wherever I can draft him. He's another one in the Scott Fishbowl that I was really targeting, and I missed him, and I was kicking myself afterwards. Because I feel like he could be a difference maker.
Yeah. I was the most bearish on him between the three of us. So a lot of that had to do with the fact that while he added Julio, you've got to decide how they're going to come to play on that. And when you look at one of the things that really set Ryan Tannehill apart that put him at quarterback 7 last year was the rushing touchdowns. 7 rushing touchdowns, which was a career high for him. The previous high was 4. So, yeah, I'm going to bring that closer back to the mean there. His touchdown clip, when you're talking touchdowns to pass attempts, has been insanely high when he's been in Tennessee. The first year he was over there was up around a 10%. That's Lamar Jackson type of numbers when Lamar Jackson finishes the number one quarterback in 2019 type of touchdown rate. This past year was, again, insanely high, almost a 6.3% ratio, which – yeah, just bringing him back to the median on that, kind of where the league average is, and even a little bit above that, I think I've got him right around about a 5.6 type of touchdown rate on that, which was going to put him right about 28 touchdowns. And all of that, those just that touchdown decretion there is what kind of brought him down for me. Yeah, but I'm making up words, Alex.
Yeah, I don't know that decretion is a word, but that's all right.
I got that one too.
Okay.
See, yeah, I mean, I think he's going to stay close to the top in touchdown rate. 28 seems too low. 28 touchdowns, he's going to throw more than that.
We should note that none of the three of us, and I don't think really anybody is at this rate, did not rank Deshaun Watson. We just didn't put a number next to him.
Oh, yeah, I did.
For a number of reasons, obviously. But we should note that. If you're wondering where the hell is Deshaun Watson, we didn't rank him at all. Didn't even put a number next to his name.
Right. Yeah. If none of this had ever happened and we didn't have anything to worry about with Deshaun Watson, I'd probably have him in that 6, 7, 8 range, somewhere like that. But yeah, I'm with you. I didn't rank him just because I kind of really don't think he's playing this year.
I'd probably put him all the way at 5 since he simply just finishes as the 5th quarterback, you know, regardless of what the team does, it seems every year. So, but we'll see what that looks like as the season approaches and we get some more information on that one and what that might look like for sure.
So, all right, Derek, take us through 20.
Through the 20. All righty. Well, at number 13, we've got Matthew Stafford, followed by Matt Ryan. At 14, Carson Wentz. At number 15, Kirk Cousins. At number 16, Jameis Winston making an appearance on the list. At number 17, Trevor Lawrence. At 18, Ben Roethlisberger. At 19, and then Daniel Jones and Tua tying for number 20 on the consensus there. So, a very wide range.
I should point out, this is a little behind the curtain and I didn't realize I did this, but I'm going to stand by it that I meant to do it. I happen to have ranked both Kirk Cousins and Ryan Fitzpatrick at 18, which means that I was going back and forth between the two of them. And I just forgot to switch one of them off of 18 to 19. But I will maintain that I meant to do that. And kept both of them at 18. So when they finish next year as like really close and right at 18.
Both exactly.
You heard it here first.
Oh,
perfect. Yeah, there's not too much I can complain about in your 13 through 20s there. I've got T-Law a little higher than you guys do. I've got him at 15 overall. I expect some big things. I expect some big passing volume is really what it comes down to. So I think he's going to have a pretty good season. And, you know, he has, like, sneaky rushing abilities. People don't really talk about how good he is as a runner, but he's a pretty athletic guy. He's going to get some, you know, he's going to score some fantasy points with his feet.
Absolutely. I also had Trevor Lawrence at 15. Trevor Lawrence and Carson Wentz were the two, I think, biggest, just looking at it real quick, are the two biggest disparities in this group of our rankings. Whereas I... unapologetically had Carson Wentz at number 10. Kevin was kind of there with me at 13. And Derek, you have Carson Wentz finishing QB 24. Explain yourself.
Well, I'm going to have to relook at that after seeing this. Also, drop the mic, FF. What's up? Good to hear from you. Good seeing you. Appreciate you tuning in here. But let me go ahead and head back over here to my projections that I had over here for Carson Wentz. And okay, so Alex, here's the biggest problem that I see happening. One, I see Indianapolis establishing the run more so this year than they did even last year. And last year they ran the ball a ton. Part of the other problem that you have is that Carson Wentz doesn't typically push the ball down the field a ton. You know, when you look at kind of a career average for him, when you're talking yards per attempt, he's down there less than 7 yards per attempt. And that's kind of about where I've got him on that completion rating, right about a 64. So you talk about a lower pass volume team with a guy that's completing about 64% and not throwing the ball down the field a ton. He's going to have lower yards than what a lot of these other teams have got. Also, you look, you know, I touched on earlier when you're talking on the kind of that touchdown per average on what you're throwing there. Yeah, he's a sub 5% touchdown ratio to pass attempts there. And so again, he's going to be probably that 26, 27 touchdown ratio is about where I see it on that one without a ton of rushing upside. Kevin's trying to tell us something, but he's got some mic issues. It looks like.
What? I think his microphone broke on him. Oh, he just pulled it off. That might explain some things. hopefully we'll see if that worked. The other biggest disparity
we've got Durr Sharp coming to your aid to rebut my attempts there. The saying that Wentz's yards per attempt is bad because his receivers were bad. I've got to agree with you. But I also think the fact that of the matter is, too, that he also looks to throw a little bit shorter and doesn't necessarily push the ball down the field. Now, that may change with him pairing back up with Reich's offensive system here. But again, I'm going to kind of roll with the fact that they're going to run the ball and passing is going to be a secondary option for him.
The other one, and I was, I guess, hopeful to get Kevin's take on this, but we may not be able to hear from him. The other big disparity we had was Trevor Lawrence. And as always with a rookie, I think we're all, you know, just rolling the dice anyways with what our projections are with them. So I had Trevor Lawrence finishing at 15, Kevin at 20 and Derek at 22 for our consensus 18.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's Derek. He's dragging it down for you.
Wow. I mean, yeah. I think I might be a little too bullish on the guy, but I'm with you. I do think, you know, I will take the national semifinal, or was it the national championship game? They all blend together. I'll take that and throw it out the window because he looked awful running the football in that game, but he can run the football, and I do think right. That there is value there. And I think Urban's going to do some things for as much as Urban's been out of the game, the guy is still really smart when it comes to putting an offense together, and he understands how to use a quarterback and get the most out of a quarterback and an offense. And I think that he will be set up for success. And anytime you got Tim Tebow on the roster, you got to believe you're going to win.
Yeah, there's that.
Actually, I wrote T-Law at number 15, but my handwriting's terrible. And when I looked down for a second, I thought it said Tebow. And I'm like, I didn't put Tebow on here as a quarterback. Like, what's going on? Yeah, it freaked me out just for a second there.
Well, it could happen. I wouldn't be shocked if we see one of those goal line jump passes.
Yeah.
Or two.
As long as he makes the
Statue of Liberty jump play. Yeah, that could be interesting. I don't know. I don't like the wide receiver core that they've got down there. DJ Chark, Marvin Jones, both of those guys are kind of the field stretchers. And while I love them in best ball, you're relying on Laviska Shenault to kind of be your underneath receiver. And yeah, I've been very public on that one, that I not necessarily sold on Laviska, especially having watched him all the way out here in Colorado when he was in college. But he's got some good pieces there, but I don't know that they necessarily bring that all together. They don't have a great defense, so I don't know. I'm not necessarily sold on T-Law having a top 20 season.
I mean, they don't have a good defense. And actually, that's part of the reason that I'm a little more bullish on it, because, you know, I feel like they're going to have to pass, because, I mean, they were worse defenses last year, and they did get a little bit better. They brought in a lot of free agents. I don't know how much better all those free agents are going to make them, but like guys like Shaquille Griffin keep some points off the board as opposed to what they, but I still think, you know, that could definitely lead to a lot more passing attempts for T-Law. And I also think Travis Etienne is going to be an X factor in the passing game. You know, I think he could end up catching a lot of passes.
Yeah, probably right. It's more of a case. I'm just willing to be wrong on Trevor Lawrence this year for redraft purposes. Dynasty, all over that one, taking him where I can get him. But if for redraft purposes, I'm just kind of out, and I'm willing to be wrong on that one this year.
So. Just a quick update. This has now become a 3-person show. We're approaching the end anyways, but Kevin, the internet issues, too much to overcome. We'll hear about it in his post presser afterwards.
All righty. Well, guys, any final thoughts on the QB rankings here?
No, I mean, all in all, I think that you guys did a good job. I got to say my piece where I disagreed. So,
well, we appreciate the input. And like I said, there's a few of those that I'm going to go back through and re-examine and just kind of see what I see on that one, because I may be wrong, and I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong, and I'll relook at those things. But some of them I feel pretty good about. So, Mike, we very much appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us and talking some Steelers football, giving us the breakdown on the rankings there. I very much appreciate you taking time tonight and hanging with us.
Excellent. I think you just called me Mike, but that's okay.
I am so sorry. Dave Fantasy, my apologies there. I looked at the comment. Yes, I looked at the comment. You know, my reading brain and my talking brain don't talk a lot of times. So poor communication there. Dave, we very much appreciate you coming on and hanging with us and talking Steelers football and helping us break down the rankings there. If you can make sure the listeners know again where to find you and connect with you online.
Just follow me at Dave Fantasy on Twitter, and you'll be able to link to everything I do through there.
Awesome. Alex, any final thoughts for the listeners?
I do have a final thought for the listeners. If you guys missed it earlier today, it's Tuesday as we're recording this. The Secretary of Defense is going to allow Cameron Kinley, who was drafted, if I'm not mistaken, by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers out of the Naval Academy. Initially, Kinley was told that he was going to have to go into active duty after completing his term there at the Naval Academy and wouldn't be able to pursue his dream of playing in the NFL. Well, that all changed today. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin approved a plan that's going to allow Kinley to pursue being in the NFL, which I have the utmost respect for the guys that go to those service academies, that go there on an athletic and an academic. I mean, it's not easy to get into those service academies, and it's definitely not something that is cut for everybody. So the utmost respect for those guys going in there. And I think it's only fair that those guys, if they're good enough to go play at the next level, that they are allowed that opportunity and then can delay their service. And that's exactly what's going to happen here. In this case for Cameron Kinley, I think it's smart for everybody involved. The Navy gets some good PR off of this for, you know, letting a guy be one of their own, go represent the Navy in the NFL. The NFL gets some good PR off of this because they're going to have a guy who's about to go back into the service once his playing days are done. He'll go and serve our country in the United States Navy. So I think this was a win-win for everybody. I couldn't believe initially when the Navy said that they weren't going to allow it to happen. I think smarter heads prevailed, and we're all going to benefit from it by getting to see this story of Cameron Kinley play out and getting to know these guys that sacrifice a lot, not just because they're football players, but this guy truly is one of the guys that's going to go out and do it for real and put his, you know, his life on the line to defend our country. And I just think it's really cool that everybody came to this conclusion. The president even got involved that it's going to be great for Cameron Kinley that he's got an opportunity to go play in the NFL. And it makes sense for some of these kids that are going into these service academies. Yes, they all know that they're not going there strictly to play football or do whatever it is, you know, whatever sport it is that they might play. They're going there because they're going to a service academy. But to know that there is an option, should you be good enough to pursue, you know, that sport at the highest level is really awesome and really cool. So I'm glad that was able to come out today.
Awesome. Well, Dave, did you have any final thoughts?
I can't think of a one right now. You know, I think I'm all talked out, but.
Alrighty. Cali dude, it's going well.
Kinley was undrafted. Just so you know, he was undrafted and signed with the Bucks, which might've made the decision a little bit harder for the Navy to say, yeah, maybe not, but either way.
Gotcha. Alrighty. Cali dude, thanks for tuning in there. Make sure you click the follow button. We do this show live every Tuesday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern. Wherever you're watching this, please hit that subscribe, that follow button. You know, if you're listening to the podcast on that, make sure that you're hitting that follow button as well. You can find us on our socials, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Twitch, at Good Old Boys FF. We've got the website for you, goodoldboysff.com. For Kevin and Alex, I'm Derek. Big thanks for Dave Fantasy for coming on and chatting with us again. You'll be able to follow him at the Twitter, and they'll be in the show notes as well.
Go to our website. We'll have the rankings posted there.
Absolutely. For Kevin, Alex, I'm Derek. Have a good one. Be safe.